Evan. Woo-hoo! Hey, I met a guy in Dominican Republic. His name was Ivan. And I think that was supposed to be for Evan. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here to sing your praises, to hear your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified throughout the whole service. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Start our worship service off this morning. Christ is risen.
and friends here. Y'all ain't hiding out from the hurricane, are you? Yes and no. We have some friends and family from Florida with us, and this is good. Hey, friends and anybody who's visiting, again, welcome to Christ Community Church. I don't know if you're glad to be here. I am so glad to be here. If you were here last week, you saw a white-knuckle sermon, me holding on to the pulpit saying, I'm going to Haiti tomorrow, and I think we're going to make it in there. We're going to try. Just pray for us. And we made it as far as we can go, and I'm glad that the plane didn't come up short in any way at all. And I'll tell you more about that, but I'm so glad you're here. God's going to get all the glory. Amen. So sing out. Whatever you got bothering you, whatever you got going on, this is one of those safe places. Okay, we ain't going to judge you. We're not going to mock you. We're going to allow you to be here, and God allows us to be here to just be free and say, yes, Lord. I see some friends here I haven't seen here in a little bit who've been down, and I'm so glad you all are up in here. Just say, yes, Lord, I'm yours, and I'm so glad to be here. Amen? Amen. Let's praise Him some more.
Song, but this song starts out, we stand and lift up our hands. You can't sit in your chair and sing your song. No. Lift up his hands. Worship our Lord.
We bow down and worship Him now.
Is that, do you have that relationship with God through grace? How unshakable. He makes it that way. He didn't make an agreement and a covenant with us through the blood of His Son and decide to break it any time. His grace is amazing. It's everlasting. It's eternal. The way that hymn ends, it says, and when we've been there 10,000 years, bright and shining like the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But I'll tell you, there's a limited time on this planet to praise Him, to be part of that earthly choir. Let's take this opportunity on this last song and be the earthly choir. Eternity's a lot longer than your lifetime here. Take every chance you can to be a part of the earthly choir, lifting up praise to our God who is worthy. Take this time now. we're all going to be in here today. The children are staying in here with us. And so be mindful. Help out where you can help out. Miss Helen, you're staying in here, or are you going with your children? Okay, if you want to go, Miss Helen and Miss Helen's group, y'all can go. All both of you. But look, just be mindful. If you're used to being a little cranky, be a little more patient. If you're being a little too patient and you need to do some correcting, do a little correcting. But don't pinch nobody. I'm convinced more people don't come to church nowadays because they was pinched when they were young. I have a friend of mine. He's about my size. He's a normal-sized man like me. And he said, you want to know why I don't jog? And I wanted to say, I know, Bubba. It's because it hurts. he said, well, I don't jog because I don't see nobody smiling while they're doing it. He said, as soon as them jogging people look like they're having fun, I'll try it. You see those people jogging. It's cold and rainy and they're jogging. So I don't want to do that. And I think it's a lot like church. You say, how come these young adults don't want to go to church? Because it's more fun to go to a doctor. Sometimes it's more fun to go to see somebody like that. It's more fun having to get your driver's license renewed at the Mississippi Highway Patrol sometimes than it is going to church. Because people say, as soon as kids come there, they act like you can't be a kid no more. Now you be quiet and hang there, put your hands still. But you ever see a kid? I wish everybody, you should take some home sometime with you and just observe them. They're weird critters. And don't ever forget, you used to be one. You used to be one of those wild, untamed critters. Now, if you're here and you used to get pinched in church, just know you're the exception. Everybody else got pinched. They still got bruises on their triceps they're trying to get away. And they still had that. And it's that same thing. It'd be like, I'd go to church if anybody looked like they was having fun while they're there. If it seemed like it was good for anybody, I might go. But my goodness. So y'all going to behave, right? In my front rows, y'all going to behave? All right. I'm going to preach. And we're all gonna be better as we leave out of here, because God never misses an opportunity to teach. God never misses an opportunity to feed. We can be fed and well taught if we'll listen up. Okay, so let's do that. I'm gonna share some of my mission stuff, and I hope to do that in a way that keeps your attention, doesn't just bore you to death. But I do want to say this: if you have something to write on, you're interested in what was going on and what I was a part of, you can go to a Facebook site or a Twitter. I've never tweeted. People have called me a twit, but I promise I've never done that. But I do Facebook. If you go to Go, G-O-H-M-M, that's Go, H-M-M, you can find out about, you'll see more pictures of me than you probably want to see. You'll see pictures of me. I look just like this, but I'm in a different country. That's the only difference. And you can see them there, Go HMM, and they'll keep you updated on what's going on in Haiti. If you're interested in that, for those who don't know what in the world I'm talking about, I just came back from a trip where we are going to encourage Haitian pastors. It was a pastor's conference. They meet once a year. I went last year, and it was scheduled this year, and we weren't going to let a little thing like a hurricane stop us, but y'all can attest, last week I was kind of like, yeah, I'm sure I'm supposed to go on this trip. And I was a little nervous. I was wondering if they were watching the news. And then I talked to them, and I realized they weren't watching the news, and they just didn't care because Jesus said go. And I'm all right with that, too. We're going to talk some about that. But I'm so glad to be back with y'all. But go HMM if y'all want to follow up on some of that. We're going to start, and we'll read a passage of Scripture to us, Luke 9, 23 and 24. I'm going to read several passages of Scripture that I hope gets ingrained in our brains. I heard a preacher one time says, I hope this sticks in your brain like a sharp piece of glass. Kind of graphic, but that's the idea. We wanted to stick. We wanted to get in there. And this is one of them, Luke 9, 23 and 24. Jesus speaking said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. We're going to launch off at this point. Let me pray for us. Father, stick this scripture into our brain, especially our collective mindset as a church, that we would hold this idea of following you. You've given us a desire for it, that we would forsake just the securities and the comforts that we're accustomed to in order to take up our cross daily and to follow you. That our desire for self-preservation and comfort and convenience would not override our desire to serve you, but that we would be those who take up the cross, who take up the challenge and follow you. Help us to truly be followers of Christ, not in word and title only, but in living. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to start off with this idea of being a follower of Jesus. You know, we've come a long way where a lot of people, when you use the word Christian, it seems like it can mean a lot of different things. And so, you know, there's Christian music, Christian concerts. America's a Christian country, don't you know? We use it for all kinds of things, and it's a little bit of a misnomer. It can be a little bit not really descriptive. So this idea of what is a Christian, what a Christian ought to be, and I think we nail it down here better when we say a follower of Jesus. A Christian ought to be a follower of Jesus. And that led me to this, and y'all are going to love my intellectual ability here. What does a follower of Jesus do?
Follow Jesus.
Thank you, Bert. A follower of Jesus follows Jesus. I mean, you just can't escape that. I mean, the more complicated that definition comes, it only comes when we're trying to guard our security, our convenience, and our comforts. If it's anything more than, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you follow him. You follow his teachings. You follow his plan. You follow his spirit. You follow his word. You follow him. And if he says go, you go. Somewhere that has to be in the mindset, I believe, of every Bible-believing, every gospel, every Jesus-focused church has to have that inside their mind, inside their heart. If he says go, I'm going to go. There's a song popular on K-Love right now. It says, there's so many leaders, but you asked for followers. You know, I've studied leadership. It hasn't wore off on me yet, but I've studied it. I've looked at the books, I've been to the conferences, I've done all these things, but you know, one thing I can always count on, and I'm so glad I can count on this, I can count on having a leader. Jesus Christ is a leader. He is the leader of the church. He is the head of the church. Now, what I need to work on, am I going to follow the leader? Am I going to go where he says go? Am I going to do what he says do? Am I going to say what he says say? Am I going to give what he says give? Am I going to pray like he said pray? Thank you. I appreciate your confidence. Was that in you or me? I don't know. But either way, it's confidence. I like it. So if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There should almost be a but here. But whoever desires to save his life, he'll lose it. It's a weird thing, this following Jesus. It works on our desire. And I believe this. If you've been saved, I believe there's a spark, a desire in you that says, hey, I want to follow the one who saved me. Now that I've come to understand that Christ, that God not only created me in his image, but Christ saved me to be his son, to be his child. Now I want to do what he says do. I want to follow him. That's so exciting. There's a desire to do that. But I know for myself there's another desire. I have a desire. I have a desire to live as long and safe and healthy and as comfortable as I can. And I'd be lying to you if I said, and you all would be lying to yourselves and lying to me if you said you didn't have that. And I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't have that. I want to live. I want to see my grandchildren, not anytime soon, in the proper time, according to morality. That's all I'm going to say. My son is already yelling at me in his brain. Point being, we have those desires. It never says he who desires to lose his life, but it says he who loses his life, if he loses it for my sake, he shall save it. He'll have it. But the idea is, when I give myself over to be a Christ follower, I'm no longer the boss. I'm no longer the one who looks at all the information, decides, makes this intelligent decision, and goes with it. I say yes to Jesus, and he says go, I go. I'm going to trust the guy who says, I can get you from your sinful self to be saved and brought into heaven one day, that I can get you from here to there to go tell somebody about Jesus. I can get you there too. He's going to take care of me. He's going to do better than that. He's going to take care of my family too. I'm going to tell you somebody who loves your grandkids more than you love them, and who loves your children more than you love them, and who loves your spouse more than you love them, and who loves you more than you love you. His name is Jesus. He does. He really, really does. He loves us. He knows how to take care of us and all those people in our lives. We don't have to be, let me say, we can be afraid. I was sorely afraid. You should see me get on a plane. I've told y'all before, I've grown in my prayer life. I've never considered myself a prayer warrior, except for when I'm on a plane. I'm telling you, next time if I go somewhere, y'all need to give me a prayer list. Say, John, just pray through this, because I stay in, you know, that prayer without ceasing. I just, all right, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours in the air. I'm yours on the ground, all those things. Let me tell you a quick story about when I was going. I had to know that I was his, because we were flying. We're at 30-some thousand feet, and we're almost to the Dominican Republic, when all of a sudden the fasten seatbelt sign comes on in the plane. All right, no problem. We're getting ready to make our descent. Well, the pilot comes on. This is what he says. I put the fasten seatbelt. They always say it weird.
This is your pilot?
Yeah, like who else was it going to be? Anyways.
This is Donald Trump, and I'm running for president, and I just want to say hi. Thank you for flying Delta 688.
This is your pilot, and I put the fasten seatbelt sign on because, and he didn't tell you the truth. He didn't want to say because we're about to fall out the sky, twist and turn, to do all kinds of things. He said, we might be experiencing a little bit of rough weather from the northern bands of that hurricane, and I thank you for flying Delta, and I hope to see you on a future flight. No kidding. Hey, I hope to see you on one day. Why don't we make a plan about that? I see you and you see me on a future flight sometime other than here, right? Well, we're getting on there and I'm praying without ceasing, and I figured the Lord gave me a good imagery. He said, just imagine you're in the rodeo. So I had my bottom in the chair. I did everything but put one hand up like this, you know, as we were going. I had both hands on the headrest in front of me, and that plane did one of these. It was like, foom, 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 wah, wah, wah. And I'm going, and there's a lady's playing in Spanish. I don't know what's it. Oh, Dios, so much on this. There's a lady behind me who's going, finding a place to throw up. I'm like, oh, man. I'm just trying to keep myself centered, doing all this stuff. It's about 10 minutes like that. All the flights, it's about 10 minutes. I mean, it just seemed like forever. We're like, in my mind, I'm thinking, this is exactly the way it happens in the movies. There'd be a little gremlin dude out there chomping on the wires at the wing. You know, all of a sudden something breaks, like you break off in the middle, and you land, and I'm sitting there looking around like, if we get trapped in the ocean and I got to eat somebody, who am I going to eat to live, you know? You're thinking through all these things. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you just know you're in this thing, and it's just not, I don't want to watch plane wreck movies anymore. Anyways, I'm glad they're at the distance, but God got us through, and I just had to come to realize, look, as much as I think my life is really in my hands when I'm standing right here amongst my family, I don't know what my heart's thinking. I don't know what my expiration date is, and y'all don't either. And yet we try so hard to preserve something we have no control over. You know, I have as much control over staying alive right now as I did up at that 33,000 feet, shake, rattle, and roll like a rodeo driver on a roller coaster is kind of what I felt like. I took my pulse afterwards. Right now, it's regular. At that time, I'm sure I could have just, if I had a mirror, I probably could have looked at it like, you know? But just because I was scared, doesn't mean I was in any more control or less control of my life than I am right now when I'm not scared. God's in control. Christ says, come on with me. Come on, follow me. Let me ask you a couple things. One, are you really a follower of Jesus? Do you follow him? I ain't talking about in your decorum. You can go to all the houses around here. They're lovely. They're decorated just like our church, decorated in Christian decor, you know? We'll have Christian jewelry, and we'll have crosses. We'll have other Christian symbols and all that stuff. Some we don't know. I don't know how many people I've had to explain the ichthus, the fish. It's actually an acronym. It's really cool, but a lot of people say, that's a Jesus fish. I'm like, you know why? They're like, no, because Jesus liked fish. And it's like, well, it's a little more than that, but we got to be a little more than that. More than just Christian decor. More than just Christian, you know, I got K-Love on my radio station. It's more than that. It's about following him. It's about willing to say, I trust you. I'll go with you anywhere, even if I'm scared. I got to believe there was time when those disciples following Jesus were scared. There's time, remember, they was in the boat, and it was rocking, and it was filling up, and they even asked him, don't you care? Don't you care that we're dying? Remember what he said to them? He had a name for the disciples. You know, that's one of the things I don't think changed at all from the New Testament times to our times. I think he looks down and says, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. You reckon the one who hung the moon, stars, and the sun, and the sky, and the planet, that I don't have a plan? That I don't have this? Do you think for a moment I don't have this? I got this. So even if you're afraid, go forward in faith in Christ. It'll be all right. Let that desire win out. The next thing is about being stretched. Now look, I had a knee injury. I had to have surgery when I was in high school on my left knee. And funny enough, it's the knee that's actually good right now. And all they did was took cartilage out of it because it ripped and they had to take cartilage out of it. But as I do CrossFit and stuff, this is the one that works and it's my right one that don't work. I don't know how that worked out. But to me, it means eventually neither one of them are going to work and I'm going to be up here like this. Hey, I hope my shoulder works still. Hey, I'm preaching the gospel up here. I can't walk, but I'm preaching the gospel. But I had to go to therapy. And when I was in therapy, their whole goal was to stretch me past what I was able to do or would do on my own. To help me to get back and rehabilitated so that a public high school in southeastern Michigan could abuse my body for another year or two. You know, that was their whole point, was to stretch us beyond what we do ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something about being a follower. If you're not following a leader, you're not stretched. If you're the leader in your life, you will always stop at the border of comfortable for you. Always. It's the way we're rigged. You're always going to stop. Whatever's comfortable for you, whatever convenient for you, whatever is safe for you, that's where you will stop. You'll never get stretched beyond. You know, if I told the therapist, they do 100 of these leg curls, I said, man, that hurts. You know how much sympathy I got? You know, they just, oh, does it hurt? Oh, big boy, I'm so sorry. So sorry this is hurting you. Oh, what are we going to do now? Well, I'm just going to cry and get tissues out because it hurts. You know, I can imagine saying to Jesus, I'd go, Jesus, to encourage those pastors or do whatever you want me to do, but I'm scared. I can imagine him going, oh, you're scared, man. Can you imagine Jesus walking to Jerusalem? Jesus knew what he was facing in Jerusalem. Do you know what it meant for him to walk like that? His face was set like flint, man. He was undeterrable. He just came and just boom, how tough he is. Can you imagine me saying to him, well, I'm afraid. I'm scared. Now, you know what? I don't think he makes fun of me. I think he says, oh, you of little faith. I got this. You come home with me. But if you're not being led, if there's no one you submit to as a leader, if you're always in control of your own deal, you are never, ever, ever, ever going to be stretched. You're not going to be useful except for in that little place of comfort, convenience, safety. And you want to take what, you know, God might drop some things every once in a while for you. That'd be fine. But I'm going to tell you, I believe he likes to stretch us. You ever see taffy get stretched? Saltwater taffy. They put it on those big machines. They're like big arms like this. And then it stretches it out. We had a neighbor who was she grew up Amish and she made her own taffy. She made her own clothes. Those Amish people, they do those things. They make their own stuff. she had us to come down and stretch taffy with her, and she'd put her feet on it and stuff. She was like, I mean, she'd get into stretching that. And I think sometimes God wants to do that with his church. Church, listen to me. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, we need to be ready to be stretched. It's not that he's just picking out things that we don't like. It's that where his mission is sometimes is not where we're comfortable. It's sometimes not convenient and sometimes not safe like we would judge safe. But I'm going to tell you, when he stretches us, it's good. I feel like in a way my life's been handed back to me. Almost like when I said, Lord, I'm going to go. Even though I was afraid, even though I was getting counsel from people who love me and I love, saying, I don't think you should go. I said, man, I gave my word I was going to go, and I wasn't asked to be the leader on that trip. I was asked to be a follower and to trust the leaders on that trip. And even though I was afraid, and I didn't think they was looking at the same weather reports I was looking at. But by going, I feel like God even handed my life back to me and said, look, here you go. It's not my life, though. You know, it's like whoever loses my life for my sake, Jesus said, he finds it. And it did something in me, being stretched like that. That was good. And it's good. It'd be good for us. Y'all, God's working a group in here. I imagine probably within this room right now, there's a group of people who in the next 12 months are going to get on a plane and go somewhere in the name of Jesus to do some ministry. You know, we've kind of been talking to some people about going to Guatemala. And you don't drive there. You can, but we don't. I wouldn't want to drive there. You got to go right through cartel country in Mexico, and it'd just be bad. It'd be better to fly. We're going to get on a plane. Some people, it's going to stretch some of us. It's going to stretch us, but it's going to be good. Being a Christ follower is not easy, but it's good. Do y'all understand? I think it's a little easier when you rightly perceive who he is, and he's got this in control. We're going to move on to real life application. The next point, missions equals real life application of your biblical instruction. I don't know if y'all got one of these. Everybody get one? If you didn't get one, there's some in the hallway. We didn't have a regular handout, but there's these things. Get one, and then you can at least ease my mind about all the trees that died so we could have them. I won't feel near as guilty about it. Missions equals real life application of all your biblical instruction. There's some folks in here who've had biblical instruction up to the top of their head, filled with it. And that is not meant to stay in your body, in your head. It is meant to move you to real life application, to where you are, where he would have you to go, everywhere in between. Bible knowledge is to be applied. I've heard this said, the biggest problem in the church is there's so much instruction and so little application. I remember when I was a new Christian. As soon as I got in there, they said, ooh, a new guy. Within a couple years, I was a Sunday school teacher, men's ministry leader, puppet ministry leader, general do whatever you got to do, dude. And I started realizing, I started talking to some of these folks. Some of the folks who'd been in the church for 3 or 4 decades in that same church. Not even talking about their whole Christian life, but in that same church, 3 or 4 decades. I just don't know if I could do all those things. I just don't know that much about the Bible. I thought, in 30 years, if you went on a seminar every week, I believe you could probably be a brain surgeon at the end of 30 years. Matter of fact, brain surgeons don't take 30 years to become trained as brain surgeons. To think that we get all this knowledge just to keep it for us and not to apply it. Oh, imagine what we could do with the Word of God that's been invested in you. Nobody makes an investment without a return in mind. Think about all the investment. I think about seminary and the church I've been through and the investment of the Word of God. You know, the Word of God says that the Word of God comes to you like a seed implanted that it might grow and bear fruit. Think about that, how it's to be applied. This is what I want us to do, oh church, that we would apply what we know. It's so good. It's invigorating. You know, invigorating means life-giving. It puts life in you. It's so good. Let me give you a little bit of knowledge, too, from my this might not be as helpful, but I want to give you a real-life application. on the difference between shampoo and conditioner and body wash. Now, I wanted to save room in my bag. So I found this really cheap 2-in-1 Suave. And I got this travel bottle and I squished it full of stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, hey, this will be good. It's 2-in-1. I'm thinking it's shampoo and body wash. Well, it wasn't shampoo and body wash. It was 2-in-1. It was shampoo and conditioner, like the volumizing stuff. And let me just say something. It's not the same. Now, I'm not trying to get too personal or too grotesque, but you see the hair on my chin? Well, if my shirt went on, it would connect to the hair on my chest. And I'm a hairy dude. And when you wash up with shampoo and conditioner, the volumizing, I come out looking like a puff. Now, I want you to know something. I've got that knowledge now. On my next trip, I'm going to make sure the 2-in-1 includes a body wash and a shampoo, not a conditioner, because I don't need to be all puffy. Now, I was the only one that got to, you know, see all that, but praise God. I'm sure they were all praising God. But I'm telling you, it's like, wow. I've never felt more conditioned. And it made a difference. But you take that knowledge and you apply it. But here's some serious knowledge that I got to remember and apply. Y'all know Steve Wilks, Dr. Steve Wilks, who is a good friend of this church and a good personal friend of mine and a mentor of mine. And, you know, stuff that he trained me, it came into play because we had to call some audibles on this trip. You know, we didn't get to go speak with the Haitian pastors because we couldn't get into Haiti because of the weather. So we were just in the Dominican Republic, and we had to go and share. And we had an opportunity to go into this city, Barahona, and evangelize and to share the gospel. And so we were doing that, and that was really good. And our hosts, they wanted to make a good impression on us. So they took us to a nice part of town. You know, this has a nice square. Matter of fact, the police were kind of off of one part of the square, and you know, there was just all these people and just hanging out. It was a beautiful day, and everybody had been inside. This was Thursday. Everybody had been inside because of the storm. So everybody's out, and there's a lot of people, and we were talking to these people. And everybody we talked to, we said, man, we want to tell you about a relationship with Jesus. And they'd say, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. He's the boss of everything, and I'm his. And you know, really polite and really receiving us well. And I was like, okay, and we'd go to somebody else. And we went to several people like this, and it was the same thing. They all had to answer. They all knew. They're all just being polite, though. You know how somebody's just being polite? Imagine if somebody came and started sharing the gospel with you. You wouldn't just blow them off. You know, you would listen to them, and when you'd say, yes, if you know the Lord, I do know the Lord. And that was the group we were in. We were like in a church group. And I told our interpreter, I said, look, we need to find some lost people, man. I said, where are the lost people hanging out? He goes, no. You know, it's like, this is the nice area. This is the nice place. I said, I know, but there's an urgency to the gospel message. It's important that we get to people who don't know. And he's going, he didn't know. I said, tell me this. I said, where are the people drinking beer? He said, huh? I said, cervezas, man. Where are they drinking beer? He said, oh, that's down on this other part of town. Go there. And so he took us where there's all these bars on. It was because it's on the ocean. If you've ever been to like Daytona Beach or all this, you know, you got all those little cafe sidewalk bars and stuff right up in there. And so that's what it kind of reminded me of. We went there. We rolled up. We parked our truck, and we was in a big old like sheep hauling truck. We're all standing in the back rattling down these roads. We pile off there with our Bibles and our tracks. First thing we look and just took a last swig of a big old whiskey bottle and put it back. And I said, we want to talk to you about Jesus, man. He said, oh. And the guy was looking around, and it seemed to click with him. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, we need to go find those people who are lost. It's not just about making an impression with the church next door or keeping up with the Joneses or being all about appearances. Oh, you know, they went and evangelized. They handed out tracts and New Testaments to a bunch of Sunday school people. It's like, that's not what our job is. We need to get the word out to those who are perishing. Listen to what Jesus said in that second point. Deliberately seeking those Jesus is seeking. This is how we need to apply. In Mark 2:17, he says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." That's one of those verses I want us to get stuck in our brain like a sharp piece of glass. And it don't end. It says, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. If you're going to say you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus said he was coming to seek out sinners. That's pretty plain from this text. We don't got to be theologians. We don't have to speak English. You don't have to be a scholar to get this. Find those folks who need to hear. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not one who's going to preach on prohibition and all those things, but the Bible says those who are drinking are often trying to drown their sorrows. Those who are drinking are often caught in a bitterness of heart. They're often caught up in bondage. And if you just drink it on a public street by yourself, bottles of whiskey, you need Jesus. There's something going on in your life. And that's where we ought to be looking. But it's not the savory people. It's not the good time. Oh, everybody hand clap and have a church fellowship. It's a little different. We found a woman who was abused when we were down there. She had been abused. And it might have been the guy she was with that had been abusing her. We got to share the gospel with both of them. We found some guys who were off work and they were just laid back, you know, chilling underneath the trees. And it reminded me of where homeless people live in the United States. There's this bunch of trees, bottles strewn all over, like trash strewn all over the place. And these guys just sitting in the middle of it. And we got to go, and that's who we got to go and share Jesus with. We got to go share with these guys who just got off the fish market. And they smelled like they just got out of the fish market. And they just honest with me. They said, "We're not ready yet." And we told them, "What do you mean you're not ready yet? God sent people from America to tell you about this. It's your time, man." And they said, "We're just not ready, but we prayed for them." They're wrestling with these issues. They needed the information we had. We need to seek people like that. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's what he came to do. I said there was an urgency to the gospel. And I got to preach a gospel message over and over during from Revelation chapter 1. And I just want to share it with you. The odd verses, verse 1, 3, 5, and 7. It's not the only way to share your faith, but it is a way to share your faith. Christ community, we need a way to share our faith. So if you don't have one, tune your ears in. I'm telling you one right now. If you're interested, Revelation 1, 1, 3, 5, and 7. In chapter 1, it says, "This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and these are the things that will shortly take place." Verse 3, it says, "For the time is near." And what I do with them, I say, look, this is urgent. There's an urgency because you don't know when God's going to call you to Him, and you don't know when He's coming back and going to be fully revealed. But either way, you want to be right with Him. You want to be right with Him when He comes. Verse 7 says, He's coming. Behold, He is coming on the clouds. And guess what it says? Who will see Him? Every eye will see Him. Even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. But even so, amen. So you tell them there's an urgency. This is not about, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. There's a lot at stake in the gospel. Do y'all remember that? Do y'all remember there's a lot at stake in the gospel? Tell me you do. Tell me you've bet your life on the gospel. Tell me you've put all your eggs into that one basket. Tell me that Jesus Christ is your only hope. And tell me that because of that, you're okay with whether you go on tomorrow or tonight, or if He comes home, if He comes back here tomorrow or night, or He takes you with me. Tell me you're okay. But if you're not okay, this also tells us how we can be okay. Verse 5 says this, "To Him, to Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Won't you come to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? If you're here today and you don't understand that he's coming or you're going, one of those things is going to happen. We don't know what order. He may come before you go. I don't know. But he may call you home. How are you going to face him if you've not been washed in the blood of Christ? What excuse do you think could work for why you neglected what Christ has done for you on the cross? Is there any excuse you could hand the Father? I disregarded your son because I didn't like the preacher at Christ Community Church because he was loud and obnoxious and had some kind of weird hair on his face, and I didn't like to listen to him. You think that's going to fly? Do you know a lot of those preachers on TV, they're corrupt, they'll steal your money, they're hypocrites. Do you think that's going to fly when you meet God face to face, when Christ offered to wash you in his blood from your sins? Do you think anything will do? Do you think anything will do for your blessed children and your blessed grandchildren than they've been washed in the blood of Christ? There's an urgency, and such a great urgency of the gospel, that I hadn't remembered. That crushed my heart when I saw these folks who are on this island while a hurricane is hitting, and who knows what their future is. They have a life expectancy a lot less than we do. They're going to him by the numbers a lot quicker than we are. And I just want to say, hey, church, you don't have this knowledge in your brain to not give it to somebody else. What if he means for us to be the mission? Nobody here looks at themselves as missionaries except for those who have been missionaries. But what if he means for us as a church to be the missionaries? To go and share. To go and tell. Because there is an urgency. I don't know if y'all have been looking. And I'm not trying to get overly political. But you just keep looking. Adrian Rogers, a man much wiser than I, used to say, it's getting gloriously dark. He died more than a dozen years ago. It's getting darker. It's darkest right before the dawn. There's an urgency. Now, if you don't know where you are with the gospel, you need to square with God. But you've heard it. I know you've heard it because I preached it. But if you had never received it, it wouldn't matter if you said, Lord, but I was near you. I heard your gospel preached a million times. But if you never received it, it does you no good. There's an urgency to it. Right now is an invitation. This is the invitation. One, that you'd say, I want to be a part of the mission. I want to be on mission with God. Whatever that means. Wherever that means. Whatever that means. How much ever it means. I want to be on mission with God. If that's what you want to do, I invite you to come while we have this hymn of invitation. The second is if you've never received, you're not going to really be able to give. You can't give a gospel you haven't received. You can give the facts of it, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to have the power of the Spirit behind it. It's not going to show in your eyes. You need to receive it. Our ministries are fulfilled when we are filled by Christ and who he is. Okay? That's just how that happens. You can read that in Colossians 4, 12, and 17. That was part of what I had to preach to those preachers that I didn't get to preach. But while we are fulfilled and perfected in all the will of God, he says, may your ministries be fulfilled in the Lord, which you've received. And we want to do that. If you believe God has you here for a purpose, a reason, and it's more than the fill a seat, it's more than to live just your life however you want. It's about saying, I want to be on mission with God. And you're ready. You come on. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, you come on. Now's your time.
But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You said,
sermon on missions. Some of my guys, their toes stepped on. So I can't go, and I'm not worthy.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of ways to participate. You can give, you can go, you can pray. And you're worthy or not worthy based on what Christ has done in your faith in Christ. Our worthiness is never decided about how much we've done or didn't do. Christ won a place of acceptability and worthiness with us. That's the good news that we go and preach. And it's just good. So don't you get feeling... If anybody's beat down, you pick your chin up, ask God where He'd have you go, and you go. He's made you, qualified you, made you fit and worthy for His kingdom by Christ. Amen? All right. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward to take the morning offering. Do we need another usher? We get some. We got it. I think we got it. All right. Okay, you can come on. You're fitted and qualified to take a... Yeah, that's good. All right, let me pray for us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we love you. Thank you for how you love us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Hey, let's do that. God, I'm going to say God is good, y'all say all the time. Then I'll say all the time, y'all say God is good. Y'all with me? All right, ready? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
One more time. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Good job. Hey, we read, I don't know if you got a bulletin, but you heard some announcements. In a couple weeks, we're having the singing on Sunday night. I don't know if you remember the first time we had it. It was awesome. So on the 23rd of October, we're having a singing. On the 23rd of October, we're having a baptism. If you've never followed Christ in baptism, remember what I asked. Are you a follower of Christ? Well, he said, if you put your faith in me, if you've come to know me as your Lord and Savior, you need to follow me in baptism. We're going to have a baptism October 23rd here. We're going to have a mission team here October 23rd from Beautiful Feet Ministries in Fort Worth, Texas, who are going to tell us about ministering to people who are hurting and homeless and how we might be involved in that. And so a lot of stuff going on the 23rd. So mark your calendar and be like, hey, we're going to be there at church on the 23rd because whatever we have, it's not important as that. Did I slip that one in? Did I get that one on you? All right. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for what you're doing and how you want to use us. We're worthy because of Christ, and you demonstrate that through using us in your ministry and your mission. Thank you for that high privilege. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you all and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.